Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin. Good evening, everyone, and we are back with another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir. Actually, this is episode 243, here with Sherry Pang. Sherry, how's it going?
Good. It's really good to be back on Paranormal Horizons, and it's really, it's nice to be able to have Maria to take our place, or take my place anyway, and just really love her and appreciate her, but it's nice to also be back and still, kind of be in touch base and see what's going on with our radio show. But I just want to, I want to thank all of our listeners from the radio show and also on Facebook. We hit the 2,000 mark, and it just, right now we are just snowballing. It's crazy how many people are just sharing our page, and, we're not even trying. We're just trying to entertain our people and just keep them abreast of all the things that are, fun and things like that, and we're just really on a roll, and I hope it continues.
Dad is posting a bunch of ridiculous memes. I mean, who doesn't like memes? I sure do. But it's certainly blown up.
I life is really complicated as it is, and we can find negativity and things like that, but if you can find something that make you laugh, or, find the lighter part of humor. It's not meant to be, insulting or anything, but just, find the lighter, the funny part of it. It's kind of brightens up your day. It does with me sometimes.
Absolutely. Who doesn't like a meme of kittens and ridiculous jokes? It's amusing.
I do. As stupid as they may be, it's funny. Oh, my gosh. How you been, Jason? What have you been up to?
Oh, just living a groundhog life. Work, sleep, and pizza, and occasionally tacos. Not much going on. Nothing really to report, although I did notice something a little bit odd just a few minutes ago, and we are waiting for our guests to connect. We're having a little bit of trouble getting connection, but hopefully he'll be on shortly. But so before the show, I went and took a shower, and I came back, to set up everything, my little home studio. And the chair that had been in my room that had a jacket on it was, like, on the other side of the room, knocked over, and I thought that was weird. That's kind of too heavy for a cat, and there was no cats here. There's no one else in the house. So how did this chair move 7 feet and get knocked over in the 20 minutes I was gone? So now I'm paranoid that there's some sort of spiritual activity, and I've mentioned it in the past. I do think where I live is haunted, but I try to keep it in the back of my mind. But there's some psychokinetic poltergeist activity going on down here.
Well, it's probably harmless, and I don't think there's anything that you really have to worry about. When you think about how many people have died here on this earth, and, hopefully most people will cross over in a good light, but there are those that are, not decide to stay or whatever reason, they're just harmless. It's up to you whether you want to kick them out or not.
Yeah, well, I just try and ignore it. I haven't seen too much here, but occasionally something will happen where it just makes me wonder. It's fun to watch in horror movies and to talk about, but you don't want to live with it. At least me personally. I know some people out there seek it and like to buy possessed dolls and open Dybbuk boxes in their houses. Yeah, no thanks. That doesn't sound like a good time to me.
Yeah, that's true. And sometimes, you know, the paranormal itself, going on paranormal haunts and things like that, you know, it's interesting because when I first got into this, I loved the paranormal, which I still do. But as far as going in and doing haunts and dealing with, you know, dark entities or djinns or demonic forces, no thank you. I like keeping my job, helping people with closure and healing and reaching those on the other side.
I don't know how you do it. That just sounds too creepy to me.
Well, let's put it this way. I love it. I love what I do, but I'm able to have the discipline to shut it down and open it up at will. So I've been very blessed with that gift.
Yes, you have. Well, I'm going to ask you to babble for a few minutes while I try and get connected with the guest.
I know. That's okay. So anyway, our only guest tonight is the one and only Jason Keeling, and he is out of England. I don't know what part of England, but he is out of England, and at his time, I think it's either 3:30 in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, but he's going to be our guest, and I really welcome him. He is a metaphysicist. He does study spirituality. He does Reiki, and he is also a medium. So he does that in his spare time, and it's just something that he likes to do. And he dabbles in all kinds of different things in the spirituality department. And the fact is that his passion of helping people, it's like, this is wonderful. It's good to know that, you know, people like him, can talk to him and really get some information. And the fact is, sometimes, more than often than not, I don't think he charges. So, you know, if you have a question or something, he might be able to help you. So I hope that Jason can come in. I think Jason Ophir, my partner, is trying to connect with Jason Keeling, the spiritualist. So, we'll see what goes on. So, Jason, are you still on?
Yeah, we're trying
okay.
to get it sorted out. Yeah, it's really weird. Well, he's calling calling all the way from across the ocean, so not sure why it's not working. But I'm going to try different method here.
Should be pretty easy.
Well, you know, it's technology. It just doesn't always work. Let's try this number. Let's see if it'll work. I've never done this before.
His number. He shows me he's got his number coming through the group chat.
Okay, yeah. So I got his number, but I don't never call. Actually, I've never even used this feature before, and I don't know if it'll call an international number. Let's see if it'll work. Here we go. This is new for everybody, new for the listeners. Let's see. Here we go.
The number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again.
It doesn't like it. Okay, that's not going to work. All right.
That's not going to work. Oh, my gosh. There's no way we can connect with them with Skype, huh? So far. While you do that in the background, Jason, I'll just talk about the guest next week. So next week we're going to have Clyde Lewis's wife, Janine Duffy. And I'm not sure Maria's going to take my place to next week, but I'm sure that there's always going to be something very interesting from Janine. She's just very well educated and just loves talking about very things that are really advanced, you know, with technology or spirituality or whatever. So Janine is a very, very good personal friend of mine and just love to have her. So she's going to be here next Sunday on air.
Well, that would be exciting.
It is. Just all this advanced technical stuff is just way above my head. I'm glad you're taking care of this, Jason.
I'm trying to figure it out right now.
It's kind of frustrating. I can...
Yeah, see, it should work. Okay. Well, keep chatting for a second. Let me type.
Okay. So anyway, what else am I going to talk about? Oh, I might as well plug myself in. I'm the host, the only host for my radio show called Portals to Enlightenment, Your Journey of Body, Mind, and Spirit, where we podcast on every major podcast throughout the network, from iTunes, Alexa, Spotify, Cashbox, all these major ones. And you can just tune in, just type in Portals to Enlightenment, and just go under there, and whatever we have I'm going to be talking about this coming Wednesday will be there. So I believe this next coming Wednesday will be, I'm not sure. Let's see. We had David Weatherly. I'm just right now drawing into a blank. So, I'm not sure who we have. I've got so many people on the line right now, and I'm not sure who I have. But just go ahead and go under my page, Psychic Medium Sherry, or under Paranormal Horizons. And I usually post that within a day or two, at least a couple of days, to get people heads up. But sometimes the producers are busy and, you know, they're not on top of it. So sometimes it's a day up, but I like to try and get it out at least a couple of days out there. So, yeah. And if anybody would like to have any readings, you can get a hold of me on Psychic Medium Sherry on Facebook, or go to my website at www.psychicmediumsherry.weebly.com. Again, www.psychicmediumsherry.weebly.com. At the end, there's a contact form. You can go and call me, or you can just contact me through through the contact form, and I will get back to you. I do check on those every day, so I try and be as prompt as possible. I don't like leaving people hanging try not to do that. So try and be on top of that. But, if you have any readings or any Chinese medicine questions or medical Qigong sessions or traditional Chinese medicine medical intuitive sessions, just go ahead and call me. All right. Jason, hey, how's it going over there?
Working on it. We're trouble.
Okay. Still working on it. Okay.
How is your show going, by the way?
Well, I don't know. I don't, you know, to be honest with you, I do not know. The listeners, as far as how many people are listening on iTunes or Spotify or Cashbox or Spreaker or, you know, all those other podcasts, but it's doing really well. As a matter of fact, I love it because, number one, it's so different than Paranormal Horizons. We, you know, it's nice that we get to do live, and I will do that eventually, or just do it maybe once or twice a month. But right now we do pre-records, and I try and keep it very short, between maybe 30-35 minutes, because a lot of times we don't have time to listen to somebody unless it's really, really something that somebody wants to listen to. Half an hour, 35 minutes, that's about it. I like to keep it short. You know, and we're on your way to work or on an appointment, you can listen. Half an hour, 35, attention span is pretty short anyway, so it's kind of nice to be able to keep it short and sweet and a lot of bang for your buck. So I think we're doing really well. I love it. It's body, mind, and spirit, so I cover from anywhere from the body and the mind and the spirit. So this week we're going to cover bodybuilding because one of my people that I know is a bodybuilder, and he is just, you know, really good at what he does, and I'm going to interview him. So it's great. I love it. I love what I do. I love interviewing people and sharing and learning and all kinds of stuff. So
bodybuilding,
cats or dogs, anything.
Ooh,
I'm pretty open,
you should do
you
a cat show. I'll call in and talk about cats.
Oh, yeah, love it. Anything about cats. I have a veterinarian, and, you know, we had one, and he's going to be coming back. But we talked about just general tips about wellness, his attitude about wellness of animals, you know. And so we're going to go a little bit more specific next time. We can go into exotic animals. We can go into, you know, specific diseases, you know, or you know, common diseases and how to take care of them. So euthanasia, it just goes on and on. I love my show just like I love Paranormal Horizons, Jason.
Absolutely. What do you think the state of society is in terms of, like, wellness? Do you think that we're changing a direction from eating, you know, to eating healthier and exercising more? Do you think we're still on the track of, you know, the fat Westerners, oh, fat Americans? Do you think things are still going downhill in general?
I think that people are learning, they're being more educated, and I think, if anything, they're being more mindful of what they feed into their minds and their bodies. So when I say the mind, it's like, what are they educating? What kind of facts are they researching, and how much are they believing or what they're being told or whatever? So I think it's going towards wellness, but it's unfortunate that, you know, my personal opinion, you're going to need to pay at the front end or the back end. So you pay with your health. You're going to pay really expensive organic food. It's going to eat you out of, not eat you out of house and home, but it's really expensive stuff. But then again, if you eat stuff like, you know, anything cheap, you know, processing everything is cheap, but, you know, I mean, you may, not saying you are, you may have some problems later on because, you know, your body can only handle so much, you know, chemicals and things. But not saying that people, everybody is going to react that way. Like I say in Chinese medicine, every body is different. Just because you and me, just like an example, as an apple, some people may like apples and can handle apples, and I've known people that can't eat apples. Something with the acid on the peel or something makes them sick. So, you know, everybody is different.
It is interesting how, like you're saying, you can pay a lot of money for good food. I know, you know, the closest grocery store to where I live is New Seasons, and, you know, you just pay so much money there. It's expensive. You know, they've got a good hot bar, good pre-made food, but it's horribly expensive, but it's convenient. And it's interesting to me that you can just go to McDonald's or Wendy's or wherever, and the food's terrible for you, but it's super cheap. It's like corporations want to offer you cheap food that's bad for your health.
And it's really frightening because, like, you know, when you think of the chicken, I mean, I'm on a bodybuilding diet, you know, really am. So, you know, preparing to be up on stage in bikini. And so I got a really strict diet. And you think about all the things that are in, you know, like when you think of the so-called chicken, and it's, if it's not organic, even though sometimes I've even been reading, you know, sometimes you can't read, you believe everything you say. See, you have to be able to weigh out and say, okay, I'm getting fed with this information. Is this information really, is this really true, or could be credible, or it's just, you know, false news source story because they want, you know, they have an agenda. And so anyway, you know, they say that the chicken that we have grown here in Arkansas is all chicken from here. They fly it back into China, and they process it with, like, ammonia or bleach or something like that. I was reading the story. And then they ship it back, and then repackage it into the United States. Now, you know, it's pretty bizarre, but part of me, in a way, I almost feel like it's partly true. I wouldn't be surprised because it doesn't make sense why you're growing chicken in Arkansas and shipping it back to China and then bringing it back over here. But I'm going to be honest, I feel like I don't trust the things that are coming from China. I absolutely don't. This stuff is nasty. It's bad for your health, and I think they're generally, I'm not saying with everybody, but their general business practices are terrible. They don't have any morals or scruples in how they want to treat people. It's not a win-win situation and very transparent, and I don't like dealing with people like that. So, you know, you want to know what's in your food. You want to know, you know, before you even ingest it, like mushrooms, they're in, you know, could be in cow dung or something like that. At least you should be educated about that, and you can have that choice of whether you want to eat it or not.
Absolutely. It's hard to, you know, to try and eat healthy, as you know. I struggle with it. I try to, but I can't, man. I like tacos and pizza too much. It's just that simple. But
yeah, and it's addicting too, isn't
it?
I like tacos and pizza too.
Do I want this plate of tacos, or do I want to eat this grain wafer with no flavor or salt? I want my tacos.
and they put things so that you do crave that stuff. I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, like the olden days where Coca-Cola used to have cocaine.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Well, that,
back in the
day.
That's
really dope in society, isn't it?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, all these corporations have these fancy laboratories. Who knows what kind of things that they're concocting to get us addicted to it?
Yeah. This is one thing, is doing research. But when it comes to, you know, giving humans, and infecting them and using test animals, that is just wrong. I think that's just totally wrong.
Yeah. We're just living in an engineered society where getting organic things. I don't even trust when something says organic anymore. I mean, I think, I don't
you
know, I'm
good,
just skeptical.
You have a good point.
Yeah, if it says organic, I wouldn't necessarily believe that it's truly organic. I mean, everyone out there is trying to scam us one way or the other. It wouldn't surprise me if these small companies or big companies that are selling organic things are actually not.
And even like when you go to the local, I like going to the local markets, and you never know, they can say that and say it's organic and hike up the price. I mean, and say organic so that they can get that organic price, knowing that they have a lot of pesticides and herbicides. I love Oregon strawberries when they come into season, and I ask them, has it been sprayed? And they'll tell you. Usually they'll tell you yes, it's been sprayed or not. Oh, yeah, it is sprayed, but it's not, you got pesticides, herbicides, insecticides. So you have to be specific when you ask a question like that.
Yeah, you got to be very, very specific. So
it
looks like we're having some trouble reaching our guests.
It's
this
not
evening,
working
so
out, huh?
It's not. We're trying all the options here, and nothing seems to be working. So I don't know if it's a glitch with Blog Talk, which it potentially could. It actually sounds like it is some sort of glitch going on that it's not allowing us to connect, because it should work, unfortunately. So I guess we're just going to have to wing it this evening. Delve into the world of the paranormal.
It's a shame because they woke up 4 o'clock in the morning just so that you could be on our show. I wonder if we can ever do a test run, not on air like this, but a test run too, so that you guys can connect. Is that a possibility?
We can do that. Just give me the time, and I can set up a test show, and then we can maybe try and work out the kinks. That would probably be the best thing to do.
Yeah, why don't you just text them that. Let's do a test show, just to see how, if you can connect with him first. And then we can just reschedule him on air.
Okay, I'll let him know.
Yeah, just let him know. Just message him, and we'll just go from there. But anyway, I think that we're just being more aware and being more mindful and being more health conscious as far as just trying to eat healthy and things. I do. And it's not 100% organic in my way, but at least I'm being more aware and being conscious, and I try and eat organic, but it's not everything's organic in my, I have to weigh what's worth to eat that's organic and what's not.
Do you ever eat something that's not organic? Like, you eat very well, but do you ever get in a situation where maybe organic food's not available, and then you go out and you're like, well, I'm just going to have McDonald's, but it ends up making you feel terrible?
Well, I don't go to McDonald's, but yes, I have. Yes, I have. I've gone to restaurants and know that it's not organic or something, and sometimes I end up kind of, not, I say cheat, but I do cheat sometimes. But once I get into prep, which will be probably 20 weeks out, I probably won't be able to cheat at all. I'm going to be pretty regimented as far as what I can eat and sticking to a schedule. But I have a little bit of flexibility right now. I can eat rice cakes and a little bit of rice cakes and have peanut butter, certain kind of, almond butter or something. But everything has to be measured, literally measured. So it's just a different lifestyle.
You actually take the time to measure stuff?
Mm-hmm. I do.
That's
so, like,
discipline.
Yesterday I went and cooked
oh
for 4 days, and I have a scale. I have a food scale. And depending on, you know, where I'm at in my stage in my game, I measure all my food for each meal. And I know that a lot of the competitors will go, whether they're, you know, bikini or figure or or physique or bodybuilding or powerlifting, they'll have different containers throughout the day, but I just don't. I just throw in one big container. I know what my portions are and what I need to eat, so I just cut them into certain, like 4 ounces of meat, and everything is goes under 4 ounces of meat. And I just go times five or times six or whatever, and vegetables, I weigh them out by ounces, and by potatoes, it's the same thing. My carbs, I weigh everything out. So try to
do
3 to 4 days in advance, not a week. A lot of people want to do a week, but I think, wow, this is kind of, the food's too long. I don't want my food in the whole week. It can go rancid.
I actually do something similar. I'll get a large pizza and say, okay, half of this pizza is for lunch and half of this pizza is for dinner. And that's my rations for the day. I'm not even kidding.
I know. And so, yeah, it's very detailed, and it's different. It's a different way of life. I mean, like I said earlier, when I was a competitive runner for 23 years and, you know, quit running in July, I did an 8-miler and just decided, okay, a month before that, I decided whether I wanted to get into bodybuilding. And, you know, it's a different lifestyle, just totally different eating pattern, lifestyle, everything. So right now I'm in the process of literally building my body to the best shape it's going to be and, you know, walking on stage with heels and having that body that, you know, the bikini body. So, but you do have muscles. I don't, you know, people think, oh, you're thin and everything. No, you are muscles.
Sherry's going to be shredded.
I was going to be, but no, I'm too petite, and I got to build a lot more muscle. I would look weird, because I'm only 5'1", and so I would really look too weird if I was really shredded and bulky and everything. It would just not look good. It would look too manly. I want the best of both worlds, whereas being feminine, but also being not just toned, but almost to the point of shredded, but not that, you know, not to that extreme. So, but I've always been athletic. I've always been, you know, athletic for a long, long time. I love sports. That's part of my spirit. It's part of me being able to release some energy, pent-up energy, and my type A personality.
You don't want to be like a Arnold Schwarzenegger a woman. But we are here to pump you up.
Arnold Classic. That was a big one.
Yeah.
So anyway. Well, that's okay. We'll just ride it through. It's okay, Jason.
Well,
you guys will just go ahead.
Oh, I wanted to wish you continued success with your bodybuilding. That's great that you have that level of discipline. But now on to the world of the paranormal.
Yes.
What do you want to talk about? What's going on? Have you seen anything? You've been watching the news or anything?
No, but we can always talk about the paranormal. The paranormal is so wide range. It's crazy how, you know, I think our dimensions are, that's always been thin, but I think it's even more thinner, to be honest with you. I really feel like it's just a melting pot. You know, each dimension is just so interweaved. It's amazing. You know, I think it's just people being aware of it.
Yeah, there's so many diverse subjects you could talk about, and something is popping into my walnut-sized brain right now. So as you know, I like to watch scary things. That's like my thing. Like, you know, movies like Conjuring, Insidious, Hellraiser, all the good classics. And so I was on, I think it was Amazon Prime or Netflix, and there was this documentary, and it stated that it was an authentic documentary. This guy goes to this terribly haunted house, and it terrified him. And so I'm like, cool, you know, I'll watch another documentary. I don't watch ghost shows like Ghost Adventures and stuff like that. But, you know, paranormal documentary, I'll give this one a shot. And I'm watching it. It's pretty decent. This guy goes to this house, and there's this backstory about how these kids were cut up by this crazy lady in 1941 and thrown into this it had a well in the basement, like a lot of houses did back then. And it goes on, and it starts off slow, and doors are kind of opening and closing, and he's setting up all the cameras in there. And it's, I'm still thinking it's decent. And then I started to get the feeling that this can't be real. This is fake. And when I started to get that feeling, what it was showing was they wake up in the night, and the smoke alarm's going off. And he goes out of the room, and he tells his wife, who's in the house with him, you know, to call the fire department. And he's going downstairs, and the stove is on, the oven's on, and I just started to get this vibe. Well, this isn't real. This is fake. And looking at the video evidence of the apparent apparition they caught on video, and I'm like, yeah, this is fake. So I was like, well, this can't be real. It just doesn't feel real. So I went on and Googled it, and somebody had thoroughly researched this documentary, and it was blatantly, blatantly fake. There is no question about it. And I was thinking to myself, you know, you just can't trust anything nowadays. Everything seems to be fake. People are selling documentaries or TV shows. It's being embellished, or they're claiming stuff to be real. It's clearly not, and so I didn't even finish watching the end of it because I only like to watch real stuff. Well,
me too.
Some
I'm
of
like that too.
Horror movies,
yeah.
But when something's claiming to be real,
I used
real,
to watch them
you know.
Until I got into Communicating with the Dead.
yeah, you don't want to do it. But I mean, I like standard horror movies and stuff. But if you say something's authentic or you know true, I expect it to be true. So it's kind of irritating, and that just kind of opens up the whole bag about. There's so much fakery out there, deception. Some of it is really in your face and obvious. Some of it's not so obvious. Some people are embellishing things like the movies that, you know, like The Conjuring. You know, Hollywood's constantly trying to make things more palatable to the horror fanatics by, you know, changing storylines or glorifying things in excess. And it's just very frustrating when you're in the paranormal to see all this stuff go on out there. And you don't really know what the truth is anymore because too many people have to have Photoshop or video editing skills.
Yes. And that's sad. It really is. Instead of, you know, trying to get notoriety like that and try to, you know, what do you call that? You know, spoof people. That's just not right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely endemic out there because everybody wants their, you know, their video to go viral or to have a TV show, and it just you don't really know what to believe anymore. I mean, it's been going on forever. Just fakery,
I know.
Fakery,
and
fakery.
And especially in the paranormal, you know, people are just trying to make it really, you know, what I just trying to glamorize everything.
Yeah. But what can you do?
Oh, wow.
So my
advice, that's too bad.
My suggestions to people out there is to do some research. If you're seeing something that appears to be amazing, thought-provoking, Google it. And not that you can believe everything you read online, but there are some good sites out there that can offer information into whether things are accurate or not.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's just, I understand how you feel because, you know, my second guess is like I look at them, it's like, okay, is there some truth to it or do you, you know, or is this something else? You know, you have to have an open mind. Don't believe everything you read, but just try and see if it's true or not.
That's kind of like me. I have I'm open to things, but you know me, I admit it, I'm Mr. Skeptical. But in my world, you got to be skeptical.
You've always been skeptical, and I've known you.
That's
oh
not to say
God.
I haven't
but it's good.
Seen
you
things.
Need to. You need to have that balance.
Yeah.
So what do you want to talk about in the paranormal? Anything new besides, you know, ghosts and all kinds of the same old stuff? What's on your mind?
Well, that was on my mind, but that was just a rant.
a rant.
rant. A rant on fakery. People need to stop being fake. I haven't really been giving my...
I know, and it's just...
Go ahead.
It's becoming really bad.
Totally. Just Google UFO
yeah.
and YouTube, and you'll see probably 99.99% of the stuff is fake. Some of it's well done, and some of it's not well done.
oh,
well,
my
it's
goodness.
Like, it's like that video, that viral video went out where this family is in the park, and an eagle comes by and snatches somebody's toddler. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yes. Well, that was
and everybody.
I think that was, whatchamacallit, there wasn't that kind of, that wasn't... Was it real?
No, it totally wasn't real. The minute I saw that, I mean, it's very well done. You can't really tell the difference whether it's real or fake, but yeah, it was fake.
oh, wow. Yeah, I don't know. It's just hard. You know, when we talk to Maria and she's with MUFON, she is, you know, she knows. She can tell, you know, whether it's a fake, you know, they're real or not, and she can tell. She does the
and that's a hallmark of a
report.
Good. That's a hallmark of a good investigator. I mean, certainly as an experienced investigator, you can kind of not 100%, but you can weed out a lot of the fakers and stuff like that. Myself, my occupation previously was an investigator, not in the paranormal, but in retail loss prevention and a private investigator. And then talking to people, you know, you get a good sense of people when they're being honest and when they're being deceptive. And there's a whole science behind being able to detect when people are being deceptive. And so as a good investigator, you can weed out a lot of that stuff. So,
yeah, if you're a good investigator, yeah. What do you think of, and you talk about that kind of stuff, what do you think about polygraph tests? Are they reliable?
I think it's a useful tool. They can be beat. There are various things you can do, you know, if you're forced into a polygraph, but generally it's a good tool. My personal belief is if somebody asked me to take a polygraph, I would absolutely, regardless of the circumstances, say no thank you. Just because of the fact I don't trust technology. And the results are also subjective too. You have an examiner, so is he a good examiner? Is he a bad examiner? You know, and just because somebody has credentials doesn't necessarily make them good at their job. So, no, I do not trust polygraphs. There are some techniques to beat a polygraph. And if you can create yourself a moderate amount of pain while you're answering the questions, you can foul it up. If you can cramp your toes by, you know, I don't know, I can. If you just kind of bend your toes down and create a real painful cramp in your toes.
Oh, really? Seriously?
Yeah, yeah, it's, you know, the polygraph's reading all these physiological signs, all these, you know, your heart rate, your respiration, I think it does, like, perspiration and all these things, and if you could just throw a wrench into it, for instance, with pain, you can foul your results, I believe.
Okay.
I think I read that somewhere.
I don't know how accurate a polygraph test is, but... You know, there's so many different things that are, you know, I don't know. Like you said, you have to have you want to have an open mind, but you also want to be discerning too. Because not just because, you had a good point, just because a person is supposedly licensed or certified or supposed to be doesn't mean they're competent. And I really feel that way. When I went to Chinese medicine school, we had, you know, practitioners that got their license and we were doing our clinicals and, you know, and I was asking somebody with the acupuncture and they said, well, do you do dry needling? That was an example. Do you do dry needling as a technique? And, he goes, oh, he said, it doesn't matter. We're all competent here. And I thought, well, that's not true. I said, yeah, you're just full of baloney. You know, it's not something, there's a lot of people, whatever profession you are, there's good and bad. And you just have to listen, pay attention to your gut and listen to, you know, how you feel. How do you resonate with that person? It could be just a personality or it could be, you know, a mixture of both, or their skills or, you know, whatever. So just pay attention.
Yeah, and the other thing with the polygraph is that if somebody believes something, then it's not going to say they're lying. You know, if, for example, if somebody actually believes that they were abducted by aliens and you give them a test, you know, it's going to come out they're being truthful because they believe it, because that's how whack people's minds are. You can actually believe something that didn't happen. But generally, polygraphs, I think, are a useful tool. The one that's sketchier than a polygraph is a voice stress analyzer. And
oh, really?
Those are garbage. Yeah.
Huh. Those are not very good at all, huh?
No. I used to have an employer that would employ that secretively on their employees. They're just garbage. Yeah,
oh,
you know,
wow.
it portrays itself as being able to detect stress in your voice. So if you ask somebody a provocative question or whatever, it's supposed to pick up whether or not they're nervous or not. And it's nonsense. And maybe it's changed, but back in the day it wasn't very good, but maybe the technology's gotten better.
Well, you just, like I said, you got to just be really careful. Yeah, it's crazy. Oh, my gosh.
Employers are like the worst spies ever. You know, they want to know everything you're doing. You know, I actually applied somewhere one time. This is kind of big brotherish, but I applied somewhere one time. And one of the conditions of employment was you had to give them like your Facebook username and password and stuff. Like, are you kidding me? Come on. Here, do you want my bank account too?
Oh my gosh,
too?
Wow. Oh my gosh, how much information, huh?
Yeah. And here's a tip of advice out there for anybody that's really into social media. Don't use your real information. You are making it way too easy for people to track and stalk you. Don't use your real employers. Pictures are probably not a great idea, although I break that rule on occasion. Don't use your real name. Don't use your real date of birth. Because when I was a private investigator, a lot of times I didn't know what the person looked like, so I'd have to figure it out. And then you go to Facebook and, oh, look at their profile picture. Now I know who I'm looking for. And you hear all the time about people that are busted by cops. And, you know, because they post ridiculous stuff. Just watch what you post and don't use real info. The government wants to know where you're at and your stuff, that they can figure it out. But this applies generally to just creepy stalkers out there in internet land.
Yeah, there is. And unfortunately, we just got to be careful. We really have to be very, very careful. Yeah, that's really good advice. Very, very good. So what do you think about UFOs, Jason? Do you feel like they exist or they don't exist? What's your take on UFOs?
Well, you know that I've had my own experiences, which I've talked about before. I believe they exist. I believe we are being a guy that we can't identify as an extraterrestrial. No, I would think that the vast majority are not. When we were testing the SR-71 Blackbird, also known as Oxcart, and the F-117 stealth fighter, those things were unfamiliar in the skies. And when they were running those things out of Area 51, test flying that stuff, people were reporting seeing UFOs because they're not used to seeing these types of aircraft. So I imagine nowadays technology, you know, and that was done in what, the SR-71 was developed, what, in the 50s maybe?
Mm-hmm.
It was the 50s or 60s when they were testing it. And so you can imagine the technology out there now is greatly advanced. So it wouldn't surprise me. In fact, I'm almost certain there's stuff out there flying around that's got a U.S. pilot in it that could be, misidentified as a UFO. But there's so many things. So many people want to believe. So if anytime, you know, you see a light in the sky, some people tend to think that, you know, it's Independence Day is about to happen. But yeah,
wow.
I think they're out there. I've just seen too many weird things.
yeah.
You know, have I seen a UFO like land in front of me and little green men come out? No, but I think that would be totally awesome if it did. I would be down for that. If this transmission is hurtling through space,
you'd be down for that one, huh?
This transmission gets to Zeta Reticuli, please bring your ship down, because I think it would be totally awesome. What an experience that would be. I mean, it would be scary, don't get me wrong, but it would be amazing to actually see something that phenomenal. And apparently people have in the past.
My problem was that I know that they exist. I don't want to doubt it or whatever, but my problem was is I would never paid attention.
And that's the biggest thing. People looking down or straight ahead and not looking up at the skies.
Exactly. So once I start looking at the sky, then I thought, wow, this is beautiful. And it's just so gorgeous. I love, you know, now that I'm not so scared about being alone and being outside in the elements, I find it peaceful. A lot of people think, oh, my gosh, it's so scary because, the bears and the coyotes and things like that. I don't have a fear with that. I find that they're just very, very comforting just to be there.
I've been to your place, and I would be – I'm not lying. You're out there a little ways, and I would be a little concerned being out there.
I know, and I used to be scared. I used to be scared of being out there and have to worry about – you know, cougars and bears and black guy. I would have, my mind would be running, you know, running a mile a minute. And I thought, oh, what would happen if I, you know, ran into a black eyed child or something like that. But now it's like, I find peace. I find, my native people that are around, I find them. It's just amazing.
See, it's not animals. Wouldn't scare me at all, because I'm pretty much the biggest, baddest thing out there. But I worry about people. People make me nervous. Like, I would be afraid of some, like, serial killer or house invasion type of person. That's what would worry me out there. Not
I think
so much
been, you know,
aliens.
You've been at that kind of job, and you have an awareness, and that's really good. My concern is more people, exactly. Even as a runner, when I was running, you know, for God knows how many years, you know, it's like, it wasn't that, you know, people would say, oh, my gosh, you're running up the logging roads or the logging trails. Aren't you scared with, you know, the bears and the coyotes or the elk or something like that or the cougars? And I said, no, I would be more scared of the people because, generally speaking, people are so into themselves. They don't pay attention, not always, but sometimes. It only takes one time for somebody not to pay attention, you're done. So it's the people in the cars that I worry about, not so much the animals. The animals take care of themselves. As long as you're not coming in front of mama to protecting her cubs or, you know, in the middle of winter and people are, you know, the animals are hungry or something, you know, be aware and stay out of their way. That's what I see.
You know, I've spent a lot of time outdoors. I mean, a lot, in the middle of nowhere, and I've never seen a bear. Seen a lot of animals. Never seen a bear. I just
really?
Think that's kind of weird.
You need to come up here.
Yeah.
How often do you see them?
Matter of fact,
my husband and I were taking a walk. It was just yesterday, and he looked at the tree, and he says, that's bear. Because my husband has born and raised in the country. And, you know, he's been raised on a farm, and he's been in the country, and he's hunted and all kinds of stuff. And he said, this is bear track. And I go, really? He goes, how do I know? I asked him, you know, how did he know? He says, look at the markings on the tree. Bears don't shred the tree like this. These are claws. And I'm only 5'1". And this claw, the claw marks go up to almost about 5.5", 5'5", 5'6". So you can see that they're claw marks. But I didn't even pay attention. But he saw them. He goes, yeah, we got bear around here. It was on our property. So I don't know if it's brown bear, black bear. I have seen a bear. I literally have seen him. And he was running away. He was a tiny one. He was like a junior size. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't a full grown, but he was running on all fours. And I have seen him on a road before. So I know they do. They're around.
But maybe it wasn't a bear. Maybe it was a carnivorous reptoid alien with claws sharpening its talons.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But, it's interesting. But, my thing right now is really trying to just really tune into the things, nature, you know, coming down to earth and really tuning into nature. You know, the paranormal is always going to be there, but, you know, just tuning into nature and just trying to mind my own business. Boy, sometimes I have a hard time, but, you know, we live in such a, you know, split world, but, you know, once we try and control our mind and where we need to be, it's, you know, it could be very beneficial, I guess.
Yeah, controlling your mind can be difficult, especially, like you said, in today's society where it's full of stress, we're conditioned to want money and things, you know, to have fancy things, to be better than everyone else, to have more power, influence, and we get sucked into that.
Yeah, and the paranormal is a big one. You know, we're going to be supposedly at the Oregon Ghost Conference, and, you know, there's a lot of, you know, egos. I mean, egos in the paranormal, egos in the metaphysical, and I think it's what your intentions are. What's your purpose of being in that industry? Is it there to, like you said, is it there to hopefully have a show one of these days? Is it there to serve other people that are, you know, wanting answers? Is it there to do research? I think everybody has their own reasons or reasonings, but I really feel that the good ones are going to stick around. They really are. You know, if you're really good, your integrity and your credibility and your honesty is all going to come out in the end. I really do. I try and do that with my job as a psychic medium in Chinese medicine. I try and under promise and over deliver. That's my motto. I'd rather be under promising than over promising and under deliver. And I try and serve each and every client as if they were my family and try and bring as much value as I can because I love it. I love what I do. And I've been there with grieving and trauma and things like that, so I can understand.
Yeah, we've got to change the global consciousness. We got to start caring more about everyone else. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that can use positive words and messages. I work in a hospital, so I see people all the time that are not well. And, you know, it's when
I... It drains you after a while, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you see some really messed up stuff, but there are also positive experiences with it as well. If I have to, say, draw a patient's blood, and you can have positive interactions. But with that, you know, there's negative interactions as well, but the way I approach it is just to be as kind and friendly and compassionate as I can. And that's a lot coming from me because physically I'm imposing.
Right.
But I enjoy some of the interactions, but I've, you know, there are just a lot of unhappy people out there and there's happy people. And you just got to,
right,
even with
that's
the unhappy
true
people, you just got to be as positive. And a lot of times people respond to that. Sometimes they don't. But, you know, it's tough. It's tough working in that kind of environment. It's very high stress. It's very busy. It's very, you know, chaotic. There's lots of opportunities to make mistakes. But somebody's got to do it, right?
Yeah, and do you find that you are you in charge when people code and everything? You have to be there when they start coding, or is that more or less you're just helping with the blood draws and things?
If I'm tasked with drawing blood, which we all know I don't particularly enjoy, but I can do it. I'm okay at it. If I'm doing that, it's not my main job. But if I'm covering a break or something for a phlebotomist or a shift because somebody called in and there is a code, yes, you have to respond. You have to respond for code blues when they aren't breathing, and you have to respond to code strokes if somebody's having a stroke. So as you can imagine, responding to code blues, it's not super common, but you see these traumatic experiences and you see, you can see grieving people, and it definitely gets you to realize your one's own mortality, you know, because it's not always all really old people, you know. Bad things happen to young people too, and so it's just like, wow, I can't believe, you know, this and that, and that also goes back to being healthy. You know, a lot of this stuff can be avoided. Not all of it. Some stuff's genetic, you know, but you can mitigate the chances of some stuff a little bit with your diet and exercise.
Right. Oh my gosh. Well, at least you're adding value to their life too. You know, even if you can just do a smile, you know, a smile or just say yes, whatever, something really nice.
Yeah, and that's the message is, you know, as my mom said, because I used to stress out a lot more about when things don't go right, is don't sweat the small stuff. And then she said to me, is this going to matter in 5 years? So if something bad happens, so my tire blows out or whatever, you know, I get in a car accident, is this going to matter in 5 years? No. If it's not going to matter in 5 years, then it's not worth worrying about.
That's a very good point. Very, very good point.
So don't sweat the small stuff. Be positive. You know, somebody cuts you off or this and that. If it's not life-altering, don't worry about it. It's all gravy. Come on, peeps. It's no big deal.
Yeah, sometimes we get, you know, in our moods. Well, but that's part of being human, is to write it out and understand we go through those and to, you know, try and change our attitude about it.
And I will say this, I understand it's not always easy to do. For example, just today, I could not find my television remote. And there's not very many places it could be. It's somewhere around the bed. It has to be, because it doesn't go anywhere else. I could not find it, Jerry. I searched everywhere. I looked under the bed with a flashlight. I looked every little pile of clothes, this, that. I took the bed apart. I spent an hour looking for this thing. And I was starting to get mad. And then finally, after tearing everything apart. So what I did is I took this opportunity of not finding it. I kind of made that an opportunity to clean up a little bit, you know, which is good. Because I'm like, I'm not going to tear everything up for nothing. So, you know, clean up a little bit and try and find this thing. But I was getting angry. I couldn't find this remote because I couldn't understand where it could possibly be. There is nowhere else. It has to be by the bed because I had it the night before. It's hidden in a nook somewhere. So after tearing everything up for an hour, I was cleaning up, picking stuff up, and I'm like, well, there is one other possibility where this could be. The first thing in the morning, I did probably the worst thing for me. I went and got donuts, a jelly-filled donut and this butter. Oh, it was so delicious, Sherry. But I needed a donut.
I needed two donuts. Oh, my gosh. I love donuts, too.
Yeah. Well, the little bag it came in was by the bed, and I'm like, well, you know, I better – because I was about to throw all this trash out. I thought, let me check that bag. And sure enough, in the bottom of the donut bag was the remote.
Really? How'd it get there?
It must have fallen off the bed into the bag. But I felt myself out a little bit because I was getting mad because where's this remote? This is driving me crazy.
Wow, that's crazy. I know. I've gotten that too. And you feel like you're losing your mind, or
yeah, that's how I felt. Yeah,
it happened.
I felt like I was losing my
That's
mind.
That's crazy.
Like,
and
I was
I'm
starting
glad
to
this
think,
doesn't happen to me only.
No. I was starting to think, okay, this is. It was getting to the point of being paranormal. Because seriously, where is this thing? But I started to think about the movie Poltergeist, where things started like disappearing, or you know, like in the movie Poltergeist, where the portal opened up in the ceiling and all these objects from like the 50s fell down. I thought maybe there was like some gremlin or carpet sprite or something that jacked my remote, but no, it was in a donut bag. So there you go. If anybody
wow.
out there is the show. And happens
found
to
it.
Be,
that's the main thing.
Yeah, I found it. But if anybody is listening to this show and loses their remote, always check the donut bag.
Oh, hey, I was going to ask you. So, what do you think? Besides what is that one? Voodoo Donuts. There's another one. It's called Blue something. Is it Blue Donuts or something? Do you know
yeah.
what I'm talking about?
I do.
Okay, have you ever been to that one? At other donut shops, speaking of donuts, other than the Voodoo Donuts, which I'm not really crazy about, you know, and everybody says, oh, my God, you got to have that experience, which I have. But to me, it's not really something to rave about.
Interestingly, now for the people that don't live in Portland, Voodoo Donuts is kind of this iconic donut place. And I don't know what they're most famous for, but I know the most notable donut or one of them is a maple bar with some bacon on top, which sounds amazing.
Yes.
I've never had it. But the donut place you're talking about, I don't know the name, but somebody at work brought some of those donuts and they were okay.
But it wasn't as, oh my gosh, they're better than Voodoo Donuts.
I didn't see that. I don't remember it being so amazing. You know, they're heavily loaded with toppings, as I recall, and they were good, but you know, I don't eat a lot of donuts. I don't want to put out the impression I do, but every now and then I do get donuts. But I get my donuts from New Seasons, but all the food at New Seasons
is
good.
Oh, yeah, it's called Blue Star Donuts. I just Googled it. That's what it is. It's Blue Star. And then Blue Star is number one, and then number two is Voodoo Donuts.
I guess, you know, it's hard to make a bad donut, really.
Doesn't take much, huh? to
no.
make a bad donut.
I'm sure it's out there, but anyway,
yeah,
we're
like
running
donuts.
Out of time.
Anyway, yeah, exactly. We're running out of time, so. But, yes, thank you guys for all listening and everything. Tune in for next week. We're going to have Janine Duffy Lewis, Pride Will Lewis's wife from Ground Zero. She's going to be a special guest, and Maria will be back on as a co-host, and I will take that night off, so I won't talk to you next week. But you and Jason, if you can go, and that would be great if you guys can do a pre-record or something and see if we could work or whatever. I don't know anything about the technical issues, but, yeah, if you can figure something out, we'll have them for next time. We'll have them in for the first weekend of April. I can't believe it's almost half the year.
It's amazing. Time definitely flies.
Yes, and my apologies, Jason Keeling, for not being able to get you on. So we'll see what we can do to get you on and work it out where you can be live on air and, you know, just talk about what you do and how, you know, how it can help benefit, you know, any kind of suggestions or things like that you can help educate and our listeners can learn from. That's the name of the game, Paranormal Horizons. So. Well, until next time, next week.
Very good. Well, we'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time. And hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week. And the message of the show is just be kind to others. Oh, and question things. It's okay to be a little bit skeptical. Don't believe everything you hear or see.
Yes. Do your research. Due diligence. Absolutely, Jason.
Absolutely.
I agree with you. Take care, everybody. Love and...
Yes. Are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, love and peace, everyone. Fantastic
I didn't
week.
Hang up yet.
I just thought I just got quiet. All right. Hope everybody has a great week, and we'll see everybody next Sunday. Good night, everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye.